The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We've got a busy day of Irish racing coming up on Boxing Day. Three meetings over the Irish Sea, and joining me on the line to take his pick of the best of the action is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Afternoon, Mark. Yes, pretty good. All ready for Christmas and hopefully be ready for Boxing Day when it's all done and dusted as well.
Yeah. Great day coming up on Boxing Day. Domestically, we have nine meetings. There's a very good card at Kempton. I'll be at Weatherby. And there's also three meetings over in Ireland as well. Plenty for a racing fan to get stuck into, isn't there?
Yeah, today for shutting the door on your office or whatever, your bedroom, and leaving the grandmother and mother-in-law to fight out over the turkey and the sherry. And sit back and try and digest what's taking place. Because you said a very busy day, nine meetings domestically, and three out of the Irish Sea, of which we're going to cover now.
Yes, we'll go through the races that Andy's picked out. He's picked out the ones that he's got the strongest opinions in, and some of the highlights coming up on Boxing Day. We start at Leopardstown in their 12.50, and you've picked out a maiden hurdle here over 2.25 miles with nine of them in the lineup. And I suppose Joshua Lane's going to be relatively short in the betting, but first time we've seen him for a while, Andy. Finished third in the champion bumper last time we saw him back at Cheltenham at the festival. Do you see him winning this on reappearance?
I do, yeah. I mean, this podcast is all about highlighting the horses that are going to be making a name for themselves, hopefully in the forthcoming months before maybe building up to the festival, and a few that have caught the eye of late. And this one fits into the former category, as you've already pointed out. A very useful horse in the bumper sphere last year, making his debut over hurdles. Every single run that was of a high-class nature, second to Shane's Hill, first time up at Nace. Then he came over to contest that listed bumper at Ascot, where, again, he finished in the runner-up berth behind Seven Nation Army. And then he ran an absolute blinder when finishing third behind the aforementioned Shane's Hill and Silver Concord in the champion bumper. The champion bumper has worked out really well. We've already seen Shane's Hill strut his stuff this year. Black Hercules, who was fourth. Definitely Red, who was seventh. He's gone on to win. Golden Tiller as well, who's down in 11th. He's already won a maiden hurdle as well. And all the way down the list, such as Value at Risk, who's 13th. Zero Shades of Grey, he's unbeaten so far over hurdles. So we're dealing with a very good crop of bumper horses last year. As we often are with the bumpers at Cheltenham, it's, must admit, a route to riches in the last few seasons. Interesting that JP McManus has now acquired this horse. Of course, he raced for previous connections on all of his three runs. So JP is clearly looking to acquire the best of the crop in that particular division, and providing he's scored okay, he should really be justifying what I think will be favouritism in that 12.50 at Leopardstown on Boxing Day. So he's the first of the selections.
Okay, Joshua Lane then in the 12.50. The second race we're going to look at is the 1.20 at Leopardstown. This is the Knight Frank Juvenile Hurdle, which is a Grade 2 over 2 miles, and I undoubtedly believe that Kalkia will be favourite here. He was a very easy winner in Grade 3 company on his debut for Willie Mullins, won by 8 lengths at Fairy House. Was very impressive on that day, and Richie's got quite a few superstars out on Boxing Day, and this guy could be one of them in the end.
Yeah, Willie likes to run plenty of horses over this Christmas period, in particular for Richie. I think Richie comes over and actually spends a bit of time over in Ireland, and I think Willie looks to run most of his best horses while his main patron, of course, is enjoying his festive time. And Kalkia is the first runner in these colours, running in that juvenile hurdle to Grade 2. And, of course, Kalkia has already won in graded company. That was on his debut in Ireland when he won a Grade 3 contest at Fairy House in really convincing fashion. In the end, when he strode clear majestically after the last, he pulled well clear of a horse called Di Bando. Also went well through that race up until getting outclassed, outpaced by the winner. They were well clear of the rest. I've got to be honest, the Irish juvenile sort of runners at the moment has just been very, very poor. So it's obvious that a horse like Kalkia is going to shine and stand out. He's already been put in at 6-1 Second favourite by William Hill for the Triumph Hurdle behind Peace & Co. And he probably deserves to be in and around that mark at the moment. I think he'll probably get even shorter with another victory in this race. It's hard to see him getting beat, really, because he's beat most of today's field pretty comfortably, as we've already touched upon. Maybe one at a bigger price, for those of you that like to play around with some forecasts or maybe some each-way material, is that Thunder Zone. Gordon Elliott's always had plenty of good juveniles in his midst. Of course, Claire Cam was the pick of the bunch last year, and he's got quite a few runners in this race this year, looking to line up in this grade too. This one's certainly the pick. And I thought he did really well the other day. Also another winner at Fairy House, powering clear in the latter stages. So he's one to perhaps consider. But Calcare, all eyes on him. It should be a good day for Willie Mullins, starting with that son of Montemar.
Okay, Calcare then in the 120 at Leopardstown. We move on to the 150 at Leopardstown next. This is a 2.25 mile handicap hurdle for horses rated 80 to 116. 22 runners here, one of the more competitive races on the card. Andy, which ones do you like in here?
Yeah, I've decided to highlight this horse's chances here because I think he's particularly well handicapped. Horse that ran well in this race last year behind Sea Light, and the horse's name is Spacious Sky. I'm pretty sure he'll be favourite here, as a lot of Tony Martin's horses are, but he looks as though he's been laid out for this race. He got beat 6.5 lengths in this race last year off the back of one or two modest efforts, so that's worth bearing in mind because he comes in here in much better form. He also raced off a mark of 99, and he's actually a pound lower than he was last year, and I actually think he's been running just as well, if not better, than he was this time last year. We've seen him finish fourth at the Galway Festival behind Quick Jack on the flat, and then he also chased home Clondor Warrior in a very good race here at Leopardstown on his last start. That was on the 26th of October. In the Irish November Handicap, that was a good race this year. They won a good gallop, and there was lots of horses that were in the mix in the end. But I thought Spacious Car was really unlucky. He didn't get much room in the latter stages, and I think if he would have got a clear run, he would have won that particular race. And it looks as though, like I say, he's been safe for that race. He's been off the tracks in 61 days subsequently, but lurking up bottom weight here with Shane Shortall booked as well. I think this was very much one Tony Martin's going to play for Christmas Hall.
Okay, the 2.55 at Leopardstown is the Racing Post Novice Chase. This is a grade one over 2 miles and one furlong. We've already mentioned one Willie Mullins runner in the Rich Richie colours. Well, this is another one, and this one is one of the superstars in the shape of Vautour. Unbeaten since joining Willie Mullins, won the Supreme at the Cheltenham Festival last year, then followed that up with the Champion Novice Hurdle in Punchestown, and made a winning chase debut at Navan. Godfrey's, or he's attempting to win his first grade one over fences here. Andy, do you see him doing it?
I do, yes. Like most punters, we'll be expecting Vator to win again, as we've already touched upon in many podcasts before. Vator is one of the most exciting horses in Ireland in recent times. And judged on his round of jumping first time out, we're going to expect fireworks between now and the end of his career, really, over a variety of distances. For now, he's staying around the 2 mile mark, although I do think he'll definitely get further in time because he relaxes so well. And of course, he conserves plenty of energy with his sound jumping. He was brilliant first time out of the fences. It was a picture book round by this son of Robin Deschamps. And Ruby Walsh obviously got off him and was glowing in his praise. He's really torn, really, not to be riding him. Or he's absolutely, it's with a heavy heart he's not riding. Of course, he's got to ride Champagne Fever in the King George. It's a real tricky one from an anti-post perspective, which one you'd probably favour at the moment from the Willie Mullins team. Of course, he's got Underso, who won in wildly impressive fashion the other day. I've actually got these two running similar times on their last victory. So between now and the end of the season, who knows how the pecking order will shape up, and indeed whether both horses will end up in the Arkle. But for now, Vator is certainly one of the best we've seen, and I expect him to keep his unbeaten run intact.
Yeah, really looking forward to seeing him on Boxing Day. Let's go to Down Royal next. The 130 there is the first race that Andy's picked out. It's a Hunter's Chase over 2.75 miles. What's made you pick this one, Andy?
Well, yeah, I've picked this one out because I think it's of some interest. I'm trying to pick races and horses that I think might end up at the festival in all guises, and I think we should definitely mention On the Fringe. Of course, won this race last year before going on to run a really good race behind Tammy's Hill, of course, in the champ. In the Fox Hunters at the festival, and it looks as though connections have mapped out a similar campaign with this horse this year. Of course, don't forget he won this race last year after a break of 509 96 days off the track, so don't worry about his fitness. And because there's a big field, we actually might get a price about Edna Balder's charge. We've got several in there, such as James and Oscar Barton, Walden, and because I couldn't say all names that regular punters will know quite well. Perhaps to make the price for this horse, I think if he's in and around the even money mark, that would seem like a good bet. He's by far and away the best punter chaser in Ireland, and like I say, he goes really well for fresh. So he's another one that is definitely worth a mention, and one worth keeping an eye on, even though it's a slightly smaller scale than some of the other horses we mentioned.
Okay, we're staying in Donroyal for the 2 o'clock next. This one is a maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles. We have 12 of them in the lineup for this one, Andy. And again, it's quite an open race, but I was interested to hear what you thought about Ryan's Brook here, because he's got potential, and I think soft ground could be the key to him. And that run last time was pretty good behind Golan Tiller. So do you see him following that up with another good performance here?
Yeah, that's the one I quite like here, Mark. You've read the script. I thought that was a really good effort behind Golan Tiller, as we know, is a top-class horse in the making. But Ryan's Brook actually made him pull out all the stops in the latter stage. I don't think it was easy for Tony Martin's charge late on. And I like the way he went through the line that day, really strong, and certainly outrun his current rating of 114. This looks a fairly weak maiden hurdle. As we've seen, that form's worked out quite well already. Way at Wild West, who finished third, he actually reopposes in this race on Boxing Day. He finished fourth to Doomsday Book the other day, a horse I selected on the podcast at Navan. That was on the 14th of December. So that looks, very much the route to go. You get a chance of backing Ryan's Brook, perhaps from a win perspective, or even Way Wild West from an each-way angle. Either way, I think one of those two will be fighting at the finish, and hopefully Ryan's Brook will finally get his deserved victory, which he's certainly threatened to do in recent times.
Okay, and to Limerick we go for the final meeting we're going to look at in Ireland on Boxing Day, and the 105 is where we start here. This is a 2 mile, 3 furlong hurdle, and the Jigginstown operation have quite a strong hand here. All Hell Let Loose, trained by Sandra Hughes, looks to have every chance. So does Marinero from the Tony Martin Yard, and Willie Mullins has Urticare in there as well. So do you see the maroon silks of Jigginstown being in the winner's enclosure?
Yeah, you've certainly picked out the main protagonists here. This looks quite a decent little conditions hurdle. Of course, we know that All Hell Let Loose has got the best form. That runner-up spot behind Nicholas Canyon in the Royal Bond is easily the pick. That was a career high from this horse, who subsequently went into the race off a mark of just 123. He's now been shoved up to subsequently £9, but I think that's deserved of that tag. And if he runs anywhere near that standard, he's going to be tough to beat. But I do like quite like Monty's Meadow here, a horse trained by James Mangan. And he's already got form in the book as well at Limerick, when he was second to Milish Malshian in a decent bumper there last year. And he just really likes soft ground, this horse. The softer the better. And I think that could be one of the reasons why he might come out on top on this particular occasion. It was bottomless the day when he won in Cork on his reappearance stroke hurdling debut. Despite jumping out to the left, he was always in command, and I like the way he powered on. And connections do like a win or two here at Limerick. James Mangan's stable is always synonymous with horses here at this particular track. And so even though All Hell Let Loose has definitely got the best form, I think this Monty's Meadow will certainly put it up to him anyway.
Okay, moving on to the next race at Limerick, which is the 205. This is a Grade 2 novice chase, and it's over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. It's a race that Willie Mullins has done pretty well in recent years. He won it in 2011 with Sir Deschamps, and won it last year with the Paparazzi Kid. He's got two in this year's lineup: Perfect Gentleman and Adriana de Mott. Either of those two on the shortlist?
You certainly respect Adriana de Mott lurking down there as a 4-year-old, receiving the best part of a stone of quite a few of these. And of course, we know that she's already proven over fences as well, albeit it was a narrow margin victory over All the World on her chasing debut back in Fairy House. But yeah, I think she's probably going to go off favourite here. But this won't be no pushover, because we've got several really good horses here up against her, including Band of Blood, Gilgenboa, Pumbaa and Wounding Warrior. And the pick of those four for me would be Gilgenboa. I do rate this horse. He was good enough to run in the Supreme Novices Hurdle last year and covered himself with glory. He's already won a big handicap hurdle at Leopardstown last year when he won the old Pierce Hurdle, as it used to be called. And I thought he was spectacular when he made a winning chasing debut when he beat Blood Cateel fairly comfortably at Navan, certainly suggesting that he's going to make a splash over the larger obstacles. And he looks as though he's got a good sound technique. Whether he gets a trip or not, well, obviously, we'll find out on his first attempt over fences over this distance. But if he does, then I think he's going to take a big hand in this race. But it looks a good race on paper. We're looking forward to this. And I'll stick with Gil Gamboa, who was really impressive on his chasing debut.
Okay, Gil Gamboa then, Frandy. It sounds almost weird hearing you talking about an Ender Bulger runner. I don't know if I forget the trip.
Yeah.
Imagine walking around the yard. He's really fast in 2 miles, and then he's got all those cross-country horses and so on, and Banks horses.
He must strut around like a prima donna, mustn't he? Because all the other ply in their trade have a 4 miles plus, and he gets to do half of their distances. Yeah,
yeah,
life of luxury in that yard, isn't
it? I imagine he's the real speedster in the yard. Anyway, let's move on. The next race is 2:40 at Limerick, and this one is a mare's handicap hurdle over 2 miles. 10 of them in the lineup for this one, and this one's quite an open race. I imagine will probably be something like 7-2 for them on the field, Andy. So a bit of value in here.
Yeah, I just want to highlight a couple of horses here to the podcasters that ran really well in a decent mare's race at Thurles on Sunday. That was Dante's Firth, a horse I nominated to run well in that particular race. And the horse that came out second best, Anna Haven. Those are the two horses I think might fight out the finish again. I'm going to go with Anna Haven. I was really impressed with the way she stayed on in that particular race. She certainly made the favourite pull out all her stops. It was very strong in the betting, of course, a 2-7 shot, that Willie Mullins quality individual. But that was a much better run from Anna Haven. And in this handicap, she's only actually racing off her own mark of 104. So she should A, beat Dante's Fourth, but B, more importantly, she's incredibly well treated. I think if the handicapper had to reassess her, he'd probably stick her up the best part of £10 off the back of that run. So she does get in really well here. We know now she handles heavy ground, and while she's in good form, I'm going to go with Anna Haven.
Okay, the final race we're going to look at on Boxing Day is a 3:15 from Limerick. This one is a handicap chase for horses rated 0-109. It's over the extended 2 miles and 3 furlongs. And Black Zero's turned out quickly here, Andy, under the penalty. Striking while the iron's hot here, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I do like horses with a bit of continuity and that have run recently. They seem to have a bit of a fitness edge, and hopefully Connections will whip this horse out quite quickly again, following that win at Thurles the other day. Hugely impressive this horse was visually and on the clock as well. His last circuit time at Thurles on the 21st of December was really, really good. By far and away the fastest on the card. The overall time was really good as well. So they should team up for the hat-trick here. Obviously he runs under a £6 penalty, but I don't think that's going to be enough to stop this horse. And even though we haven't got continuity with the jockey on, because it was Johnny Burke riding the other day, it shouldn't prevent this horse from winning again, because of course Mark Walsh is an able deputy. So while he's in good form, Black Zero, everything's in his favour. Heavy ground, the trip, the track should be fine. And he's the last selection in my 10 to follow, if you like, over the Christmas period.
Yeah, a Boxing Day 10 to follow, yeah, I like it. What would be your best bet of all of those, Andy?
Best bet of all of those? That's an interesting one. I'd probably say Black Zero, given the numbers I've done for him. And I'd suggest Anna Haven as well. Those two have done two really good times, and they look incredibly well handicapped. And like I say, I do like horses that have run recently, and Connections are looking to press on with them. So those are the two that would be exciting me the most, certainly from a betting perspective. But visually, yeah, we've got an embarrassment of riches with the others.
Yeah, it's a fantastic day to look forward to. Good luck with all that, Andy, and enjoy Boxing Day.
Will do. Thanks, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.